President Trump today tweeted, military solutions are now fully in place, locked and loaded should North Korea act unwisely. Hopefully Kim Jong-un will find another path. Well, that other path could involve back-channel negotiations between the United States and North Korea, which, according to the Associated Press, have been going on for months. The president has also been attacking Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Twitter, blaming McConnell for failing to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
So lots to talk about in our Friday Politics Roundtable. And joining us today, Chad Pergram, who covers Congress for Fox News. Hi, Chad.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And Jeff Bennett, who covers the White House for NPR. Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
And let's start with what's happening with North Korea. We mentioned that tweet the president sent out this morning. Yesterday, President Trump referenced his statement earlier in the week threatening North Korean leaders with fire and fury like the world has never seen. Let's listen.
It's about time that somebody stuck up for the people of this country and for the people of other countries. So if anything, maybe that statement wasn't tough enough.
Asked what would be tougher than fire and fury, Trump said, you'll see. Jeff, what are people saying about how he's handling this? Because we've heard diplomats say he's maybe harming the prospects for dialogue in the future and that he is being reckless with his words.
I think what's concerning to some people is the lack of process, the apparent lack of process of strategy leading up to some of these declarations that we've seen from the president on Twitter and yesterday when he was speaking to members of the press pool. But the point the president makes is that, you know, as he said in that piece of tape you just played, he's really pessimistic about finding a diplomatic solution to the North Korean threat because, as he points out, the attempts by former presidents Clinton, Bush and Obama have all been ineffective and North Korea's nuclear arsenal has grown unabated. And so that's essentially what we're seeing here. And people close to the president say that his statements are meant to convey strength, that having sort of this really tough rhetoric is the thing that might make the difference.
Chad, what are you hearing? I know that the lawmakers are not around you as they usually are because they're back in their districts. But what are you hearing from people on Capitol Hill about how President Trump is handling this?
Well, this would have a completely different tincture if Congress were in session because you would be having briefings and so on and so forth. Members of Congress would be forced to weigh in on what the president's rhetoric has been. And also they would be forced to comment on, are you for attacking North Korea? Are you for attacking them preemptively or something along those lines? Congress conveniently is away right now in the 5-week August recess, and they're not being staked out at every outpost here on Capitol Hill by reporters like myself. And that's where, you know, they're getting a pass. There are some Republicans, obviously, who don't like the bellicose rhetoric by the president. I got a statement here from David Cicilline, a Democratic congressman from Rhode Island, who has written to House Speaker Paul Ryan, and he has asked for the speaker to recall the Congress to debate legislation prohibiting a preemptive nuclear strike. In other words, if they're going to do something ahead of time without the blessing of Congress, Congressman Cicilline believes that Congress should be here and weigh in on that. And again, this is the war powers that's afforded the Congress in the Constitution. People would want to have a say here on Capitol Hill.
Oh, interesting. Well, but Chad, if I could just follow up with that with you for a second, because on the other hand, the supporters of the president are saying that perhaps there isn't anything out of step or out of line with President Trump's rhetoric. I mean, past presidents, including Bill Clinton, have used some strong language on North Korea. And at the same time, the supporters of the president say that those past presidents didn't do enough to stop North Korea.
A good litmus test for this is the non-voting delegate to the House of Representatives, Madeleine Bordaglio from Guam. I noticed a very gradual turn in her phrasing in three statements that she's put out. When this started to ramp up around Tuesday, she put out a statement saying she was concerned and said she thought that Guam was protected. Then she put out a statement about 12 hours later saying she was concerned about the president's rhetoric. And after the bellicose rhetoric yesterday, she hit him again and said, stop it, back it down. And that's the very interesting thing here. Obviously, she does not have a vote. There are six non-voting delegates to Congress here and couldn't vote on a war or any sort of authorization to hit North Korea. But she's very concerned about the 165,000 people who she represents. And they appear to be, you know, first in line here if something were to break out.
And there is one aspect here that could bring down the temperature a little bit. I think Jeremy spoke to this earlier. And we know that the AP is reporting today that the Trump administration has been engaging in back-channel diplomacy with North Korea for the past several months. And NPR actually reported earlier this summer, I believe it was, that Joseph Yoon, who's the U.S. envoy for North Korea policy, was involved in talks in Europe to find a way to have some of the jailed Americans who were in North Korea released, and that he was involved in bringing home Otto Warmbier. So that's one element that could find, you know, hopefully some success in sort of ratcheting down the rhetoric.
All right. And if I could just jump back in here real quick here. One thing, you know, that was said about Warren Beer is how he was returned. That didn't exactly impress a lot of people on Capitol Hill, the fact that this guy got very sick, was in a coma, and basically returned home to Cincinnati and died a couple of days later. The other thing I should flag is that the question whether or not they're actually debating North Korea per se is going to come up immediately in September. Mm. The Senate, right before they went on recess at the end of last week, was looking at debating the defense authorization bill. And there's a host of amendments which are now being drafted to deal specifically with North Korea. And so whether they're debating an actual authorization to fight against North Korea, you know, goes by the wayside. They are going to be talking about North Korea on the Senate floor in September.
Well, the Senate is led right now by Mitch McConnell. So let's talk about what's going on there. The president has traded some less than friendly words with McConnell. On Monday, McConnell gave a speech saying Trump's lack of experience in politics led him to push Obamacare repeal and replace too fast. Trump attacked him in tweets all week. And yesterday, the president was asked if he thought McConnell should resign. Here's what he had to say about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he doesn't get repeal and replace done, and if he doesn't get taxes done, meaning cuts and reform, and if he doesn't get a very easy one to get done, infrastructure, if he doesn't get them done, then you can ask me that question.
Chad, what do you make of this?
Well, this is very strange because in addition to that defense bill, when Congress comes back to session in September, they have to raise the debt ceiling. They have to keep the government open. They probably have to deal with, in some form, these health care cost-sharing payments, which the deadline comes up for that on the 21st. And Mitch McConnell is the one person on Capitol Hill who has given President Trump his solitary legislative victory. That was changing the Senate precedent to confirm Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. And so people are saying, wait a minute, you have these big crises coming down the pike in September. Why are you beating up Mitch McConnell? And there was a little bit of some fallout for the way Mitch McConnell handled the health care bill, even among members of his own conference. He definitely has dipped to his lowest ebb. But when you start to have the president beating up Mitch McConnell, who is generally in very good stead with his membership, this is privately infuriating Republican senators.
Chad makes a great point. He knows the Hill better than most. And I would just add that this sort of one-sided feud does nothing to change the legislative landscape facing Republicans when they come back to the Hill in September. And I think what this is a president who really is the head of the Republican Party, but who has approval ratings at historic lows, who's trying to shift the blame here and cast himself as an outsider taking on the Republican establishment. It is a role that did very well for him during the campaign. I think we're seeing him return to that.
And another thing here, too, is that this is an opportunity for the president to create a foil. He's the president.
Right.
Even though there's Republicans in Congress running the House and running the Senate, he's able to beat up Congress, his favorite whipping boy, by taking on Mitch McConnell and saying, well, those do-nothing people on Capitol Hill, what's the problem with them?
Sometimes, a lot of times, and this is one of them, I feel like we're getting mixed signals, though, from the president, right? Because the president did endorse the establishment Republican backed by Mitch McConnell.
Great point,
in Alabama over two conservatives in the next week's special election. And conservative radio hosts are calling that a stab in the back.
Yes. There's this disconnect between what the president says and what the president actually does. John McCain makes this point about the president a lot. So to your point, Donald Trump, the president, endorsed Luther Strange. He is the choice of the Republican establishment. He's the choice of Mitch McConnell for
He's serving right now.
That's right. And so Mo Brooks, who is sort of the outsider, the sort of who is more aligned politically with Donald Trump, probably is the favorite of the conservative wing of the party. And you have folks like Ann Coulter, no shortage of conservative commentators who were confused and really upset by the president's decision to do that, to weigh in on a race and do something like that really could be a game changer.
If McConnell's candidate, Luther Strange, loses, Chad, is that another nail in the coffin for McConnell's leadership in the Senate?
Potentially. But again, you know, Republicans, you know, tend to back their own here. But also it's a question of how this reflects the president. You know, he went out on a limb to endorse someone in a very competitive primary. And you have to remember that this is the seat vacated by Jeff Sessions, the attorney general. And so you have that dynamic at play here, too. what this race signifies next week, it brings to light the schisms that are inside the Republican Party, even among very conservative factions. You've had, Mo Brooks, the conservative congressman. He has tried to, to tie himself to President Trump. You've had Luther Strange doing the same thing. And then you have Judge Roy Moore, the former Supreme Court justice in Alabama, who some people argue is more conservative than any of them. I mean, this is really a fractured situation here.
That's Chad Pergram, who covers Congress for Fox News, and Jeff Bennett, who covers the White House for NPR. Now, used to cover Congress, has been sent down the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue to cover.
Come back and visit us sometime.
I will.
Thanks to both of you.
Sure thing. Take care.